Transparency International says a draft code of conduct for lobbyists has been so watered down from the initial version, it is meaningless. The Ministry of Justice has just closed submissions on the draft code, which would be voluntary. The previous Labor government began a review of the lobbying sector last year and revoked most lobbyists' swipe card, preferential access to Parliament. It also instigated the development of a non-binding code of conduct for the industry. Controversy also surrounds the ease and speed with which many former ministers and senior ministerial staffers can transition into lobbying roles without any stand-down period. A recent example saw a former minister make this transition while the cabinet he had served in was still in power. Transparency International says any meaningful code should include a proper definition of lobbying, an easily accessible register of lobbyists, as well as standards based on the OECD model. But Deputy Chair DBG says the draft code shows the industry sought the lowest possible bar and the Justice Ministry has effectively been spun by the lobbying sector. Kia ora, Debbie. Welcome to 9 to Noon.
Kia ora.
Are we one of the few countries, few democracies of our ilk that do not have a code?
Yes, we are, and we stack up. We've done some research through Transparency International how we compare with OECD principles, and we don't fare particularly well. We commissioned the government the Global Organization of Parliamentarians Against Corruption set out a series of activities on lobbying, and we compared New Zealand, that is Transparency International, we did a commissioned report to compare us, and we found that we don't have a lobbying regime comparable to the jurisdictions that are outlined in the OECD's 10 principles. So we're not up with the play, despite our reputation from the perception index on corruption that we are a not very corrupt country, that we actually do very well. We need to take steps to stay there, or in fact we've slipped down to third place, perhaps get back to first place again.
All right, let's focus on the code, because that's why you're here. There was a draft code proposed. What are you saying has happened to it? Can we begin with the original version?
Yes, the original version, we wouldn't have said it was perfect, but it was sound, and it was based, had a lot of information about behaviours and activities, not just intentions. So it could have done with some strengthening, and one thing it did lack was it didn't focus just on the third party advocates, that is people who are hired to do advocacy on behalf of organisations. It's the definition in that original was broad, but nevertheless it did have a number of clauses in it that we supported, activities like, for example, the stand down period, the cooling off period between having been a minister, for example, and going into lobbying. But there were a number of other specific things that are now absent in the revised draft.
Sorry, could you be specific? It did not reference the original did not have any reference to a stand down period.
The original did reference a stand down period.
What did it suggest for that?
It said, just trying to find it here, it said that there should be implement a stand down periods. People moving between government and lobbyist roles are susceptible to accusations of using government connections and insider knowledge for personal or corporate gain. So when moving between public official and lobbying roles, avoid lobbying in the subject area previously connected to the public role, or with former associates for a period of time, not specified, but a period of time appropriate to the situation and influence of the role. That's gone.
Okay. Keep going. What else was in there that has now gone?
Okay. Some other things. There was do not seek special treatment from personal relationships or use personal relationships for personal or commercial gain. Gone. Do not make false claims about connections with public officials. Do not misrepresent impact on public services or public goods. Do not manipulate or present information in a misleading or dishonest way. This includes omitting, hiding, or minimizing important information, all gone. Do not misuse access to information for personal or commercial gain. When moving between public official and lobbying roles, avoid lobbying in the subject area. We've covered that one. That's the stand down. Avoid working in a way that harms the reputation of lobbyists and the public officials they interact with. Do not offer gifts or hospitality to public officials that create a sense of obligation. Do not demand commitments from or special access to public officials. Avoid tying payments for services to lobbying success, a contingent fee. And do not engage in bribery, corruption, or dishonest or illegal actions. All gone.
Some of those are obvious. Some of them are a bit more difficult. For example, can you reread the bit about hiding or minimising, please?
Yes. Do not manipulate or present information in a misleading or dishonest way.
Well, what's... the dishonest way is one thing, but then we're not to talk about hiding or minimising.
This includes omitting, hiding, or minimising important information.
What spin if it's not minimising certain things, emphasising other things?
Well, this is the draft.
I guess my point is, Debbie, how would that be able to be met as a standard?
It would be, wouldn't it?
It would render, some might argue, the role, I'm bringing in PR here as well, PR and comms even, who do these very things. They emphasise the positive and they, polish the negative.
Yeah, so this, first of all, this was going to be a voluntary code of conduct. So this would be people who signed up as lobbyists would be asked to commit to doing these things. So it would be a matter of their integrity. There was also a second leg to this, which hasn't been progressed, which was about regulation. The regulatory framework that sits around this hasn't been progressed. But this was going to be a voluntary code, originally intended for third-party lobbyists. The other thing I would say about public relations and advertising, if you want to go there, is that the outputs of that are in the public domain. You can see them. So if somebody puts out a media release that's blatantly misleading, incorrect, factually incorrect, it can be seen and it can be challenged.
Fair point.
With lobbying, we don't see that. We don't have that. We don't know what information was provided.
I suppose another point is this, and Peter Dunn used to make this point, that, you know, ministers, one would hope, have some capacity and competency, or we hope they're not in the jobs. I know we can have a debate about that in some instances. But, you know, they ought to be able to strenuously consider the advice they are getting from various parties, right? Whether it is minimised or stuff is hidden. In other words, they should be asking hard questions of anyone they have given time to. Go ahead.
I would expect anybody with Peter Dunn's experience to be able to demonstrate that admirably, but we have a number of people who step into ministerial roles, sometimes in their first term in Parliament or having just simply been a backbencher, and they are not necessarily equipped with experience to deal with this.
That's a worry in itself. Gifts or hospitality, repeat that, because the amount of booze that flows and meals that are had, etc. What was it saying about gifts or hospitality? That is practical and workable.
Yeah. Do not offer gifts or hospitality to public officials that create a sense of obligation.
Oh, goodness. Well, where's that threshold?
Again, difficult, but if people are voluntarily signing up for it,
they're not going to prison for it. I take your point. And the third one is do not demand access. What was the demand access? I mean, that's precisely what some of these firms are based on.
Yeah, do not demand commitments from or special access to public officials.
Special access to public officials? Does that include MPs?
Yes.
Okay. Well, that would just, I mean, you could understand why the industry might resist that, because that's what it's based on.
And those were just the don'ts. There's also the do's that have been left out. So do's from the first draft that were left out are watered down. Do publicly disclose your lobbying activities, including submissions to government processes or public officials interacted with. Do publicly disclose any political donations or gifts given. So they're kind of the mirror images of the don'ts in many ways. Do publicly disclose any government contracts held. Do disclose membership of special interests, advocacy or industry groups do publicly disclose any previously held official roles, and actually they go on for quite
some
a way.
Some of those, some of firms will do, will they not? Will some firms reveal their government contracts in particular?
Yes, some firms will. And as I said, this isn't legislation. This is a voluntary code of conduct. So it's not legislation. The threshold of proof could be, it could be difficult to prove, but if you've signed up to something voluntarily, the assumption is that you're prepared to be bound by it.
What's happened then? What's left if this stuff is not there anymore? What's left?
Not very much. A lot of vague comments like, for example, fair access to all is now down to 2 points. While public officials primarily make decisions or advise decision makers, lobbyists can be mindful of how their actions may support fair access for all, acknowledge that others may wish to have their say and support the right to free expression, and be faithful to clients without losing sight of broad public interest. There's nothing here now related to the actual expectation of behaviours. Many sections that relate to these things that I'm reading out of the do's and don'ts have just gone. So we've got these very vague statements now. The other thing that concerns us is actually the process around this, because the intention of this voluntary code of conduct when it was initially proposed by the former Prime Minister Chris Hipkins was that it relate to third party lobbyists, not everybody who actually tries to seek interaction with a public official or a minister or MP. Now that definition has been broadened to capture everybody, so that includes third party lobbyists, political lobbyists if you will, and advocacy groups who obviously are advocating on behalf of what their organisation stands for.
Do many of them have swipe card access to Parliament, or did they before Labour?
Not that many. The only one I could actually see who still does is the Taxpayers Union, but people like Transparency International and the Council for Civil Liberties certainly don't. And so we weren't involved, even though it's now been broadened to effectively cover anybody undertaking lobbying activities, including those who would call themselves, you know, third-party lobbyists. Only the third-party lobbyists, the professional lobbyists in the industry, were invited to the in-depth consultation on these.
How do you know that? How do you know who was there and who wasn't?
We know who was invited to what meetings. It's all on the Ministry of Justice's website, and the number of meetings they had with industry groups versus the one meeting that we were invited to.
What would be a practical way forward? Step back from this code and what's happened to this code, which was the purpose of our conversation, but let's just step back. You mentioned, for example, Australia has a register, right? If you want to find out who's lobbying whom on behalf of a business, will that be available on a public register in Australia?
I believe so, yes.
Okay. Disclosure, here's one here. I'm not sure this is in the... this is the do's from the original code. Publicly disclose campaigns funded to influence political decisions, including grassroots appeals designed to persuade the public and to contact public officials, etc. So that means if you are running a campaign on an issue, you would disclose that on your website as well as your clients. Is that what you're saying?
That's right. So we're an organisation, say, if Transparency International were to ever get that political, if we were to run such a campaign, we would have it front and centre of our website. You'd know where it was coming from. But some of the third-party lobbyists are doing this on behalf of clients, and you're not quite sure what the origins of it are.
Well, the clients quite possibly don't want to be identified, right?
Mm-hmm.
Well, are you saying it should be mandatory that they are identified? And what constitutes a campaign funded to influence political decisions?
What constitutes it?
How would you determine what constitutes it?
Yeah, again, definitions are going to be, you know, further work was needed on this, and including on the regulatory regime that would sit around it. What would that mean? But it is like other industry bodies that have a voluntary code. It's not a high standard of proof that you've complied. You've signed up and said, I'm putting my hand on my heart and saying I'm going to behave in this way. It's not mandatory. It was entirely voluntary. So you could look at the organisations that are third-party lobbyists and say, oh, this one has said it's signed up to the voluntary code of conduct. And that means it's said it's going to be do and not do the following things. Without it, it's completely there's not even a voluntary sort of ethical perspective on this that people will say, yeah, I'm happy to commit to behaving in this way.
So what happens now, as best you understand it? What stage is this all at?
Well, the revised draft, a much reduced draft, was out for consultation. That period has closed. I'm assuming that the Ministry of Justice will be considering the feedback on that. But as I say, for the likes of Transparency International, we only got to see the revised draft. We had no part in the feedback on how it got there. It was not every organisation that's going to be covered by this, which we would be in this definition, has not been given the same opportunity to input. But more importantly, it looks like the lobbyists have proven their ability and have had this significantly watered down. It's now probably as much use as a chocolate teapot.
All right, Debbie, thank you very much. Debbie G, who is with Transparency International.